Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey North Point, we're so excited that you decided to be with us today. It doesn't matter where you're watching from, whether you're at home or you're at work or whether you're in your car listening. We want you to know that you're not alone. You are a part of a community that believes in you and wants to walk with you every step of your journey.
You know, Destiny, 2021, we have said here at North Point, is our year of application. An application is simply the action of putting some things into operation. And that's what we've been doing this year. We've been going through our house habits, right? And these habits are simply things that we want to put into operation in our lives. And we started in January. You know, we went through those first four house habits. And those house habits are really about community. They're about relationship, right? We live on. We live on through that offense. We live on through that disappointment. We live on. But not only that, we love big.
Right.
And we honor consistently. We protect unity. All about relationship. And now in our series, we are moving into the transformative habits, right? The next four. And these are transformative habits. But the reason that these habits are so important is because we have a mission.
That's right.
And here at North Point, our mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And we are very serious about this mission, understanding that just because we believe in God doesn't mean that Jesus falls into the center of our life.
Right.
Just because we believe that God sent Jesus to this earth to die for our sins doesn't mean that we're going to change the culture in us and change the culture around us, that we're going to create the kind of community that God really wants us to create. No, we understand that that's going to take action.
Absolutely.
And that's where these habits really come into play.
Absolutely. Our habits come alongside and help to support our mission.
Yeah.
They give legs to the mission. Like we always say, we're not a church that's just about your Sundays. It's about your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays and your Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, because that's where the mission is formed. Mm-hmm. That's where the mission happens, in our homes and in our schools, in our businesses, as we see God use us to create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And that always starts with me. And that's where each of these habits start. They all start with us.
Yeah, and so today we're going to be talking about our house habit of we grow intentionally. We grow intentionally. You know, I think there's some misconceptions out there that we need to talk about first. And the first misconception is this, that if I am living, then I am growing.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a misconception.
Yeah.
Just because you are living doesn't mean that you are growing. Another misconception would be that if I go through a hard time, I'm going to benefit from it.
No, that's definitely not true.
See, it's a misconception, because we know that, as we say a lot, right, that you don't grow automatically.
That's right.
You only grow intentionally. You don't grow automatically.
No.
You only grow intentionally. And so that lets us know that we don't grow through experience. We grow through evaluated experience.
That's right.
Because if you grew through just going through a hard time, then everybody would be growing, right? Everybody would be smarter and lives would be getting better.
But
that's not the state of humanity, of society, of our culture. But who we want to be is we want to be people who grow through what we go through.
Oh, that's so good.
Regardless of whatever we are going through, there is a lesson for us to learn. There is something for us to take away from an experience so that we can grow, so that we can develop. But the only way that happens is when we are growing intentionally.
Absolutely. And when we look at the Bible, this concept of growing intentionally is so incredibly important and prominent, really from the beginning all the way to the end. We see the Apostle Paul, who was one of the founders of the early church, definitely one of the mentors of the early church, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, which was a city back then, and he's writing to this church, and he's closing out his letter, and this is how he closes it out, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words: be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. I love what he's saying. He's saying, hey, listen, these are some things that you're going to have to do intentionally.
Yeah.
You have to grow intentionally. And growing intentionally is both a biblical concept and it has a biblical model. Not only Paul, but also Peter, both shared with the early church the importance of growing intentionally.
Yeah, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, in view of all of this, and you say, well, what is all of this? He was just talking about God's precious promises and how God's promises are even better in Christ, right? And he said, so in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. So he's saying, hey, don't just stop with your faith, with your initial moment of belief in God and so in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for you. Don't let that be the end of your faith journey. He says, instead, you need to supplement that faith.
Absolutely.
There are some things that you need to add to that faith. And he says, you need to have some moral excellence. Right? He says you need to have some knowledge. You need to have some self-control, some patient endurance, some godliness or some godlikeness, some brotherly affection, some affection for the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters. But then he goes beyond. He says, beyond that, love for everyone. Yes. So there are these things that we have to grow in. But this is what he says in verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I love what he says here. He says, these things are the things that we need to be progressing in, right? We talk about discipleship. It's our process to progress. This is what we need to be moving towards. And he says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you're going to be to Jesus.
So good.
But if you're not growing in this way, you're short-sighted. You don't see the benefit. You don't see what a use you can be. You're blind to the fact that God does want to use you, but he needs you to be mature.
Absolutely.
Needs you to be developed, right? He needs your life producing the kind of fruit that he wants you to produce. And so it's this month to say, hey, work hard, right? Work hard
work
for this
hard.
Fruit. Work hard to prove this so that God can use you in the way that he really wants to use you.
Absolutely. And there's a personal responsibility here that is so incredibly key and so important. You know, that's really the tension of the gospel is that there is this personal responsibility. And then there is this call to be responsible for everybody else.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, personally, you are responsible for your faith, but then you are also responsible for strengthening the faith of others. Yeah. And here it's really talking about your personal responsibility to grow in your faith as an individual. Paul, again, writes to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, and says this, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard." You see that again?
Yeah.
You saw it up there. Peter was talking about work hard. Now Paul is saying, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, I love this, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. And this is a really important distinction, Philip, because people get all mixed up with this and they say, yeah, but salvation's not through works. That's not what either Paul or Peter is talking about here. What they're saying is, hey, work hard to show the results of your salvation.
Yes.
None of us deserve salvation.
No.
We just passed Easter, and
yeah.
we celebrated the greatest victory on earth when Jesus Christ
yeah.
came, and he broke the power of death, hell, and the grave by sacrificing himself as us for our sins.
Mm.
What an incredible story. That is the gospel, and the gospel is what gives us hope and life, and the gospel is what saves us.
Yes.
It is by faith that we are saved.
Yeah.
It's a free gift.
Yeah.
And Peter and Paul are saying the proper response to that gift is to work hard to show the results of the salvation that you have so freely been given.
Yeah, you know, when he writes here and he says work hard, this is what that lets us know, that growing intentionally will cost us something.
Oh, that's so good.
Growing intentionally will cost us something. And you remember when Jesus was telling the parable, right? He's telling the story about count the cost.
Mm.
And he says the builder, right? The builder has to count the cost.
So
he doesn't just lay the foundation and then say, oh, sorry, I don't have enough money to finish the building. Or the king, before he goes to war, he's got to count the cost to decide if that's what he can even do. And so we understand that growing intentionally, it has a cost.
Yes.
And we need to count the cost. And so the question becomes, what's the cost?
What is the cost?
Of growing intentionally.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many things that before we do them for the first time, we really want to have a better idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And I think growing intentionally is the same way. Mm. Well, what is this going to be like? What is this cost going to, really cost me?
Yeah.
And it's going to take hard work.
Yeah.
It's going to take hard work. It's going to cost me not being able to just continue to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up being very uncomfortable in this process of growing intentionally. It's going to create distance in some relationships.
Mm.
It just will. Oh, Destiny, are you telling me that I'm going to have to abandon my friends? That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that as you choose to begin growing intentionally, there will naturally be relationships that will begin to distance themselves from you because they don't want to go where you're going. They don't want to become aware of what you're becoming aware of. They don't want to change the way that you are changing. And so it can create distance and friction even in our relationships.
Wow.
That's a cost.
That's a cost.
That's a cost. And ultimately, this is, to me, the biggest cost.
Yeah.
Is if I want to grow intentionally, I will have to change. If I want to grow intentionally, I will have to change because growing intentionally isn't just about gathering information.
Mm.
It's about transformation. It's about allowing God to change the way that we are, to change the way that we live, to change literally our being through changing the way that we think.
Absolutely. You know, and Destiny, you talk about your journey, that your journey was a little bit more planned.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. So when we talk about growing intentionally, sometimes you can end up in an environment that's just very conducive to that. So, you know, growing up, I grew up in a pastor's home where we were doing ministry on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
My mom was teaching us the scriptures every single day. We were doing Bible quiz. We were doing Sunday school. We were doing missionettes. We were doing everything you could imagine.
Yeah.
And then you move from there. And my academic background is that I put myself in the hands of, you know, different universities to learn different subsets of knowledge. And so you kind of look at that and you go, okay, well, was she growing intentionally? Absolutely. I was growing intentionally because I put myself in a space where someone else had done the work to lay out a plan for me so that I could grow, so that I could move step by step. And at the end of that cycle, you know, everybody who graduated got a degree, but different ones of us leaned into the opportunity we were given differently.
Yeah.
So all of us grew intentionally, but the measure that we grew was still up to us, even in that environment. But Philip, that's really not your journey.
Yeah.
And really, I love learning from your journey because from a very young age, you grew intentionally, and you kind of found this pattern that has helped you throughout your life. And so, if you would, why don't you just kind of take us through three or four of those big moments of learning to grow intentionally.
Yeah, I think it, you know, really started really for me as an athlete, right? Starting at a very young age, 3-4 years old, yeah. I started playing golf, right? And golf is an amazing game because it's not just competing against people, it's really competing against yourself, mm-hmm. right? And so I was trying to master a craft, trying mm-hmm. to master a game at a young age and being able to compete. And then as I grew, I started playing basketball and mm-hmm. baseball and football. And then there was this desire to actually win the game, right? Realizing that the person that had the most points, they won the game at the end. And there was this awareness, right? This awareness that we compete and we win. Good. And when we win, we celebrate, right? Yeah. That this is a reality. And then as you continue going on, right, you have these coaches who are teaching you skills and drills, and you begin to practice that. And I began to see the correlation, right, from practicing hard to performing better, right? I start seeing this correlation that there are people that know more than I know, and if I will listen to them, they can teach me how to play this game better. Right. And so I'm in this thing of really growing, right? Taking in information. I'm processing that information. I'm practicing that information. I'm trying to work that out. And then in just the whole process of the lessons that we can learn from winning and from losing. Now, I didn't learn a whole lot from losing.
Why is that?
Because I didn't lose a whole lot. Okay, because we were winning. But I learned a lot of lessons from winning and from losing. And so really, my growth journey really started as an athlete.
But I love that because you learned that if you went through the process, you couldn't guarantee the outcome.
Right.
You couldn't guarantee the championship.
Right.
You couldn't control everybody else on the field.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you could become better.
Absolutely.
And I think that's sometimes where we can get completely mixed up, is we can say, well, it doesn't matter how hard I work. It doesn't matter, you know, how I improve. You know, I can't guarantee the outcome of my life. No, you can't. You can't control, you know, what happens with the pandemic. You can't control right. what happens with the massive market forces that are global. You can't control what different other people do. But you can control whether you grow intentionally or not.
Absolutely.
You can control whether you are becoming better in whatever area Absolutely. It is. Or not.
Right. Yeah. Are you listening to coaches? Are right. you putting in that time, that energy, that effort to progress
right.
in your craft? And really that's where it started for me. But in my lifetime, you know, there was another transformative moment.
Mm.
And that was really whenever I really came into a relationship with Jesus.
Mm.
And That was the transformative moment of me really growing. Now I'm not just growing in some skills as an athlete, right? In some principles, some life principles, but now, right, I'm growing in my spirit.
So tell me how that started, because, you know, I think it started the way it does for a lot of people, but your path after that was very different.
Yeah.
But you had an experience.
Yeah, I had an experience with Jesus when I was 14, 15 years old. I experienced his presence, his grace in a very real way. I became aware, right?
Mm.
I became aware that there was more.
Mm.
There was more out there. That there was more than I even knew, right?
Mm.
That it's that exceedingly abundantly above. Like, I just became aware of this abundant life that we talk about so much.
Right.
That it's possible. It's possible for Jesus to change us, to transform us. And that experience and that awareness is really what led me into a journey.
Absolutely.
And in that journey, what that journey began with was it just started with me reading my Bible.
Hmm.
I just opened up my Bible, started reading the Gospels, right?
Mm.
Started reading what Jesus was teaching and the miracles that Jesus was doing.
Yeah.
And then I started getting back into cassette tapes, right? You know, way before CDs, right?
That's right.
And sure, no podcasts available in the 90s. And I started getting these cassette tapes, and I started listening to these sermons, right? I'm just listening. I remember I would listen to sermons so many times that the tape would break, because
wow.
I would just listen and listen and listen until almost I could quote the whole tape, because I was just
wow.
learning so much in that process. Going to church, like saying, I'm not going to miss church. And when I went to church, I always took notes. Always.
And that's why you always say in church, you know, people think you're being funny.
Right.
But you always joke about how you should take notes in church. But really, you're talking about from your own experience.
100%.
Whether you ever looked back at them or not. And I know for a fact that you did look back
Absolutely.
At them. Because I found some of your journals of notes you took, and you would go back and you would circle things and you would learn from it.
Well, when I started preaching, I preached the old sermons. I mean, I had all the notes, and that's what I would do. I would go back and read those notes, and I would put my sermons together when I was started preaching at 18 based off of all the notes that I'd taken from all the preachers that I had listened to. So it created this reservoir of knowledge and revelation on the inside of me, and it was just a huge part. And then within that, like, now I'm adding community, right? It's not just my Bible and my prayer time and my notes. And me attending church, now I'm saying, okay, I need a community. I need peers who are going on this journey with me. I need some mentors. I need some people who are a little bit further down this journey to help speak into my life, right? To help guide me on this pathway, to walk beside me, we can encourage one another, challenge one another. And that was just an instrumental part of my faith journey. But it really came out of this awareness, right? This awareness that, man, there really was more. There was more for me to know, more for me to encounter. There was more. And then what did this experience, what did it really do for me, right? Like, what is going to be my response? It's what we've been talking about.
Well, it absolutely is.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just like the scripture says.
Yes.
That God is giving you the desire and the power.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when we have an experience with God, whether we're listening to something or whether we're in church and we have a moment where we go, oh man, I'm experiencing something.
Yeah.
There is a desire and a power that is put on the inside of us, but we still have to choose whether or not to honor that desire or betray it.
So true.
We have to choose whether to honor it or betray it. We have to choose whether to follow it to the next logical step of choosing to lean in like you did,
right.
Choosing to begin to listen and take on information, choosing to evaluate, choosing to begin to put into practice.
I mean,
it takes a lot of vulnerability
at
17 and 18 years old to lead prayer meetings, to begin speaking to your peers, to begin doing those things, but you weren't doing that as practice to become a professional preacher.
No.
That wasn't even in your plans.
No.
You had a whole different career plan.
Yeah.
But it was about taking what you had learned, what you had evaluated, and just putting it into practice.
Because I knew it was changing me.
Right.
This journey that I was going on, it was transforming me. And why would I not want to share this journey, this process, what was happening in me? Why would I not want to share that with others, right?
Absolutely.
I want others to experience what I am experiencing, not just a moment,
right?
Not just a moment in his presence, not just a moment of his forgiveness, but this growth of becoming like Jesus. I want other people to go on this journey and experience what I've experienced.
Good.
And so that was the transformative moment of my life and
But I think so, you know, what you're talking about, so many people are so frustrated in life.
Yeah.
And many Christians are frustrated.
It's true.
And I think it's because they really think that the only part of their journey is experiential. So I come to church and I have an experience. I go to a small group and I have an experience. I pray a prayer and I have an experience. And that's the only spiritual part of it. But the work.
Yeah.
Was just as spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, the experience was just the catalyst for the process.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. And so as my just kind of growth journey continues, after this really encounter with Jesus, that eighth grade, right, I get into the ninth grade. I'm a freshman in high school. And I have an encounter with a guy who's a couple years older than me. He was the starting quarterback of our football team. I was the backup quarterback. We played right next together in baseball. He was the shortstop. I was the third baseman, right? Like, and he was somebody that I really looked up to. And as I was watching him, I remember the day that he came over to my lunch table. I'm a freshman. He's a senior. And I remember the way that he would make me feel. He would make me feel like I was the most important person in the whole room. Like mm-hmm. he would make me feel like I could do anything, right? And yeah. that's the way he would make me feel. And then I remember watching him one day, and I thought for a few days, like, oh, well, I must be really special. Like, he's really, like, he's figured this out. And then I started watching him go around from table to table in wow. the lunchroom, realizing he's doing this for everybody.
Wow.
He's doing this at wow. every table. And I started thinking to myself, I had a desire, right? There was that mm-hmm. awareness moment.
Yeah.
I want to do that for other people.
Wow.
I want to make people feel the way that he made me feel, but not a problem. Right. I'm very introverted.
Very.
I test at the highest of all introverts. And not just that I'm introverted, because really that's just about where we recharge our energy, right?
Right.
But I'm also a shy person. Like, I don't want to inconvenience people.
Yes.
I don't want to go out. And so I'm just, I don't want to engage in that conversation.
Right.
So not just I'm introverted, I'm shy. I've been to myself.
Right.
And now I'm experiencing something.
Right.
He made me feel a certain way that I want to make other people feel the way that he made me feel.
Yeah.
But the only way he made me feel that way is that he engaged me, spoke to me.
Mm.
And so I said, you know what? I want that more than I want my comfortableness.
You counted the cost.
I counted the cost. And I said, you know what? I'm willing to do this. And so I remember, man, when I decided I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to lunch tables because I just mimicked what he did. Right? I didn't know what else to do. I'd say, this is what he did. This is what I'm going to do. And I remember going to those tables, and man, I remember it. My palms are sweating right now. Just remembering back to how I felt. I mean, I didn't have butterflies in my stomach. I had like hawks flying around in there. I was so nervous, but I pushed through those moments and I engaged, and I started seeing what it was doing to other people.
Wow.
That it was doing to them what it had done to me.
Wow.
It was changing their countenance. It was changing their posture. I could tell it was making a difference. They were being inspired
wow.
by my engagement. And out of that, I said, you know what? I want to live a life that inspires others.
Wow.
And on that journey of inspiration, then I got a John Maxwell book. I graduated high school, and somebody gave me a book for graduation. And I'm reading John Maxwell's first book, Developing the Leader Within You, was published in 1994. I got it in 1996. I'm 18 years old. I remember reading that book, and I knew the moment I read it, I'll never be the same again.
Wow.
It was an epiphany. It was a life-changing moment as I began to read and realize we can grow.
Wow.
We can change. I can develop this calling, this leader, this purpose on the inside of me. You mean it's not just up to God and chance and hope and destiny? Wait, you mean there's something that I can do
wow.
to grow and develop who I'm supposed to be? And I remember reading that book, realizing
wow.
I will never be the same again because I just so wanted to inspire others.
Yeah.
I so wanted to be that
so
source of life and hope for other people. And I just committed myself into this journey. And then I started, of course, you know, more tapes,
so
more
good.
Teachings. And it's just continued on today, right?
Yes.
I mean, today, I mean, I've got coaches that speak into my life. I'm in counseling because I'm getting tools and help and the things that I need to be the very best version of myself for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter whether you're wanting to become a better parent
yeah.
or a better spouse, or you want to get better at your finances, or you want to be a better business leader, or
yeah.
you want to be a better salesman. It really just doesn't matter what area of your life it is, that the process is still the same.
Same.
And the thing is that this is very spiritual because this is a biblical process.
Absolutely.
It's a biblical process to go through to begin to grow intentionally
yeah.
and to become aware of something.
Yeah.
Right? You become aware of something new.
Yep.
And then you begin to evaluate that new awareness.
Yep.
Figure out how it applies to your life.
Mm.
And then you begin to put that evaluation into practice.
Yeah.
And I Philip, your journey really has always inspired me. We've been together a million years. We really have. We've been together for 23 years.
23.
Almost 17 years married.
Yeah.
I always get that part
yeah,
wrong.
Almost.
I never get the other one wrong.
Almost.
But almost 17 years married. And I remember you as a teenager.
Mm.
I remember the way that you made people feel and the way that you inspired others. I remember the way that you led rooms. And it was a very special and a beautiful thing. But what I love is that I don't look back at those as being the glory days.
Mm.
That wow. you've been committed to growing intentionally.
Yeah.
And so this isn't about saying you're a great person. This is about saying anybody can do this.
Absolutely.
And because there were so many people who had an experience with Jesus around yeah. the same time you did.
Absolutely.
And there were so many people who had an experience with Jesus around the same time you did and struggled just like you did.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you just went off and lived
no.
a perfect life and
no.
your behavior was exactly the way it was.
Uh-uh.
There were seasons where you were not living up to yeah. the standards that you believed in.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you continued to act on that awareness.
Mm.
And I think that's the thing that we can take in today
yes.
is that wherever we are in our journey,
mm.
we can grow intentionally.
Yes.
Because that's really what you have to understand.
Yep.
You can grow intentionally.
Yeah.
Because there's things that will come up against you and yep. will try to convince you you can't. When it comes to athletics,
yep.
There's this whole concept of natural talent
mm.
that just destroys young athletes.
Yep.
This concept that if you aren't good immediately,
yep.
that you shouldn't even try.
Yep.
This concept that if you, you know, if you have to practice extra, there's something wrong with you.
Mm.
You had to practice a lot.
A lot extra.
A lot yeah. extra.
Right, yeah.
You know, you yeah. couldn't run out of sight in a day.
Right.
Like all of those kinds of things. It wasn't like you just walked into the room
with, that's right.
and never had to practice.
No.
You had to practice a lot, but you didn't allow that fear of, oh man, well, if I have to practice, if I have to go through the process, this shows that I'm broken.
Yeah.
You accepted that it takes a process.
Absolutely.
And I think that that was a big thing when it comes to your spiritual life. What people often do
mm.
is they have experiences with God
yep.
and then they refuse to act on them
yep.
for a variety of reasons.
Mm.
One, because they no longer have the feeling,
mm.
right? So they question whether they should take an action because I no longer have the
wow.
feeling. So they
That's
wait
really
till
good.
They have the feeling again. And then they're like, okay, maybe now. And then by the time they can take the action,
yep.
they don't have the feeling anymore.
Yep.
Or because they say, this is just emotional.
Mm. Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
And both are lies.
Yeah.
The experience is important.
Yes.
Because it opens our eyes to see.
Yes.
It opens our ears to hear. It opens our
yes.
mind to understand.
Yeah.
So that we can then begin to take those next steps
yeah.
and put them into practice.
Yes.
But I think that the final thing that I just kind of take away from a journey that just hits me is there were so many kids in that lunchroom
mm.
who watched the same thing you watched.
Mm. Mm.
There were so many kids who felt special
mm.
because of the actions of
mm-hmm.
that upperclassman.
Yep.
But there were very few who decided to walk out of their comfort zone.
Mm.
And part of it, I think, is because mm. you were willing to pay the price.
Mm.
But I think part of it was because you really believed that you could.
Yeah.
I think most of the kids who had that experience, and maybe you've experienced this in your life, you meet somebody who's, you know, living a life and you go, man, I'd love a life like that.
Wow.
I'd love to be like that. I'd love to love like that. I'd love to sing like that. I'd love to do whatever like that. And instead of saying, well, I can if I pay the price,
mm.
we say, man, it's what's it like to be born that way?
Yeah.
We've had so many people say that to you.
Yep.
Well, you're just a born leader.
Yep.
And that's
right.
the farthest thing from the truth.
It really is. You know, it's like, you know, I talked about my palms being sweaty and the, you know, the hawks in my stomach. And like, that wasn't the first time I did it. That was like the 100th time I did it. Right.
Yeah.
Like it didn't go away.
I did not
get good at it. I mean, I was the kid that wouldn't go talk to my friend when I saw my friend at the mall. Right. Like my mom
yeah.
would be like, hey, look, there's Kevin. Go say hi. And I'd be like, no, mom, I'm good. Like, let's just go. Let's just get out. Like that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't just like, oh, I made up my mind. Oh, it was tough for a few days. No, it was tough every single day that I did it until it just got less and less and less and less. And then it became a habit.
Yeah.
Right. Then I began to build up that where this is just what I do. Right.
Wow.
And so now it is a habit. It's a natural response for me. But that only came after days and weeks and months of being so uncomfortable. I wanted to vomit and yet saying, you know what? This is worth it.
Right.
This is what I'm going to pay this price because the outcome is worth it.
Absolutely. And for us, if we want to grow intentionally, we're going to have to intentionally cultivate awareness.
Yeah.
We have to intentionally cultivate awareness. One of the big parts of that is reading our Bible.
Mm.
One of the big parts of that is putting ourselves in an environment to be able to gather information, coming to church, putting on Right Now Media. That's a free gift to you from North Point Community Church. And it has a million Bible studies and kids programs. It's such an incredible resource. But using it, signing up for it and using it in our life and in our family, it's listening to those podcasts. It's pulling that information in with an intent that it would create awareness.
Yeah.
Not that we would just get information,
right,
but that it would create awareness in us. And then evaluating that.
Oh, so key.
You know, the Bible talks about, I've hidden your word in my heart, but it talks just as much about I meditate on your word day and night.
That's right.
And meditation is just really evaluation.
Yeah.
I think about your words, and I think about how they apply to me.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever heard a biblical truth and thought, man, that's amazing, without having a second thought of, but how does it apply to my life?
Right. That's right.
But how does it change the way I think about my spouse?
Right.
But how does it change the way I think about my world and my place in it? How does it apply to me? And then taking the time to put it into practice. So many times we're like, well, I know I've learned this new thing and it's had an evaluation. Well, I'm just going to wait to put it into practice. No, put it into practice today.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to take a small step immediately.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what Paul said, right? He said, hey, what you've seen me do
and what
you've heard from me, put it into practice.
Put it into practice.
Don't wait. Just put it into practice. Do something right now. Try it out. Even if you mess it up and you fail, try it out, because there's something about putting things into practice. I love these quotes. Lee Iacocca said, apply yourself. Get all the education you can, but then, by God, do something. Don't just stand there. Make it happen. I love that, because sometimes we can just get in the awareness and we're just trying to take in all the information, take in all the information. But no, you've got to put it into practice. You have to do something.
Absolutely. And this is the thing, is that if all you ever do is use information, right? If all you're ever doing is trying to find out more, and you just are educating yourself, and you never move into evaluation, and you never move into practice, then you're going to live a life that is frustrated and cynical.
Yes.
And we've all met those people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Who are frustrated on one hand, or are incredibly cynical on the other, and in worst case scenario, are both. And it's not just about getting the education, even though that's transformative in itself. It's not just about that.
Right.
It's about taking it and evaluating and then applying it to our lives.
That's right. We must do something. And, if growing intentionally is going to cost something, right? If growing intentionally is going to cost something, we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to pay that? You know, sometimes people say, what do you want? I don't think that's the question. The question is not, what do you want? The question is always, what are you willing to pay for?
That is so incredibly good, because I would absolutely love certain things in my life. I would love to be like Susie Homemaker. I would love to be the Pinterest mom. I really would, like, with all of my heart. I love Pinterest. I love looking at all the little things that people create. I love the way people organize their homes. It is just so cute. But I'm not willing to pay that cost.
No. Uh-uh.
In time or whatever. So I've had to learn that doesn't have to be a frustration in my life.
Yeah.
That isn't really the way I want to grow intentionally.
Right.
That really isn't who I want to become, because I'm not willing to pay that price.
Yep.
So I shouldn't say, well, I want to be that.
Yeah.
If I'm not willing to begin paying the price. And what's so great about that is that you don't pay the whole price up front.
That's right.
Because sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Right.
Well, what do you mean? I'm going to have to, and we start thinking of all the things that we could possibly pay. That's not how it works.
No.
What are you willing to pay today?
Yeah.
What are you willing to pay tomorrow?
Yeah.
And are you willing on a daily basis, weekly basis, a monthly basis to continue paying that cost, to continue learning from losing and winning, to continue to put it into practice,
that's right.
to continue to let people speak into your life, even when it's more comfortable to keep them at arm's length, to continue that process.
Absolutely. Well, we've been closing up all of our sermons this year with a little lead acrostic, because this year we want to lead ourselves well, because before we can lead our families well, before we can lead others, our departments, our companies, before we can lead others well, we have to first lead ourselves well. What does that look like? It looks like learning, evaluating, applying, and then doing it again. And so what is our takeaway today? What did we learn today? Our learn is this: growing intentionally will cost me something. It always will. This is not a maybe.
No.
This is not a possibility. Growing intentionally will always cost you something, because change will always cost
That's
you something.
Right.
And you are not growing if you are not changing. And so it's always going to cost you something.
Absolutely. And then our evaluation is, what am I willing to pay today? What am I willing to pay today?
Yep.
What can you go out and do today that's
going
to cost you something?
Yeah.
Maybe it costs you some time for you to read your Bible. Maybe it costs you some time to put something into practice, to choose to forgive. Maybe it takes some grit to keep your mouth shut when you know you should in that conversation, or not to post that meme, even though it's funny, because you know, right? So there's so many different things, but what are you willing to pay today? What are you willing to pay today?
And then the applying is this: write down one thing that you will do every day this week to grow intentionally. What is one thing? Not in your head, write it down. Maybe we could even take it a step further and say, write it down and tell somebody.
Oh, come on.
Write it down and tell somebody. Become accountable, your spouse, your best friend. Write it down and then tell somebody what is one thing that you are going to do every day to grow intentionally. And then our D is always the same. We switch it up a little bit this week. We just said, do it. Just do it. Write it down and then actually do it. Before you ever get to do it again, you have to do it time first. And then we want to do this process again and again and again, realizing that as we continue to grow intentionally, we are going to continue to have to pay that price again and again.
Absolutely. I just encourage you, the awareness that you're living in right now, where maybe something has come up in your heart. Maybe you've been really dealing with being present in your home, and you're aware that you want to be more present. And you know that if you just put your phone up on the mantle from a certain time to a certain time, if you just delete Instagram off of your phone, if you would just, you know, if you took that small step, that it would allow you to begin to practice that being present in your home. I want to encourage you, whatever it is, pay that price.
Yes.
Pay that price this week. Do it, then do it again. And then when you forget on Tuesday, do it on Wednesday.
That's right.
And do it again. And just keep
putting
it into practice, because that's the way that we grow intentionally.
So good.
You know, it both takes a longer time and it is shorter than what we could expect. I've heard a lot of people say that we overestimate what can be accomplished in a year and we underestimate what can be accomplished in 10.
Yeah.
And the story of our life is that we have experiences that invite us into processes.
Yeah.
The story of our faith is that we have experiences that invite us into processes. But it is our choice whether we are going to accept that invitation or not. Maybe this Easter, maybe in this season of celebrating Christ's resurrection, you had an experience. You had an experience where you were confronted with the gospel in a real and a powerful way, and you went, whoa, I think there's something more.
Wow.
Just like what you had.
That's right.
I think that there's something more.
Yeah.
And you're feeling a little bit of a desire and maybe a little encouragement, that power to say, maybe there's something more, not just for Philip and not just for Destiny.
Yes.
But for me.
Yeah.
Pay that price.
Yeah.
Take that next step.
Yeah.
be a believer, but also be a doer.
Mm.
Don't just say, yes, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And that's a beautiful thing. And we hope that every single one of you have that experience with Christ. It makes all of the difference in the world. But don't stop there.
That's right.
Walk on the journey. You know, that's the beautiful invitation of Jesus.
Yeah.
Is he says, hey, you, right where you are, with all of your issues, without cleaning up a single thing or packing a bag, just get up and follow me. Just follow me. And that's the best picture of growing intentionally I could possibly imagine.
Well, we said last week on Easter, right, the mission and the message of Jesus is about salvation and transformation.
Come on.
It's about salvation. It's about you. It's about eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. It's about transformation. It's about the abundant life, that you could live the life that God created you to live while you were here on this earth. But that does not happen if we do not make a commitment to grow intentionally. Can we pray together today before we go? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you gave us what we could never give ourselves.
Yes.
Access into heaven. We could never work hard enough for it, do enough good deeds to achieve it. But because of your grace and your love, you have allowed us access into eternity with you through the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for that. But God, we also thank you that your Holy Spirit is here empowering us to transform, to go on this journey of becoming more like Christ. And God, we want to say yes to that journey. We want to say yes to growing intentionally. We want to say yes to the life that you created us for. So right now in this moment, God, we say yes to eternal life and we say yes to abundant life. We say yes to salvation and we say yes to transformation. And we say yes, our commitment to grow intentionally. God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.